Stutter Talk would like to thank the good folks at the International Fluency Association for helping to make this episode possible. Visit them at theifa.org. Visit Stutter Talk at stuttertalk.com. Enjoy the show.
And welcome to Stutter Talk. This is Chris Constantino at the International Fluency Association Conference in Lisbon, Portugal. Stutter Talk can be found at www.stuttertalk.com and the IFA is at theifa.org. I am speaking with Keith Boss, who is the current chair of the International Stuttering Association, or the ISA. And I approached Keith because I've been in several talks with him, also in the audience with me, and he's asked some very thought-provoking questions, and I thought we would get a conversation together. So, hello, Keith.
Hello. If you are interested, the ISA website is isastutter.org. So that is our own web address. It is extremely interesting, the IFA sessions I have been to, and I have learned a lot. I've asked interesting things, as you say, and I've had some answers which I liked. And we obviously learn a little bit more every day.
Yeah, and I always think it's interesting that sometimes there's conflicting ways that speech pathologists will approach something versus how people who stutter may have approached it, given their own on their own. And I think it's important for speech pathologists, especially those who do not stutter, to always bear that in mind and make sure that they don't get too far separated from the people who they're trying to work with and continue to check in with them.
Yeah, well, as examples, this morning we had a couple of longish sessions where we were talking about stigma, and in all it lasted couple of hours, and only at the very end of the second one did we actually begin looking at ways to address stigma and self-stigma. I was awfully pleased that they actually began looking at how we ought to address it. But one of the obvious ways that I'd heard of at the IFA Congress in Tours 3 years ago was of David Shapiro, who was the IFA president at that time. He said that he asked his clients to count the number of times they said specific syllables or connection of words correctly. So he was actually doing two things. He was asking people to be aware of what they were saying, and once you start to be aware of what you're saying, you can start to be aware of what you're thinking and your feelings. But he was also, which is very important, asking them to count the positive side of their speech. And by doing this, the positives can slowly be used to replace many of the negatives that we have in our memories.
Yeah, I think that's very important. I think we often, in any human condition, we tend to dwell on the negative aspects. I'm assuming by correctly, you mean fluently, right? Or just correct, even if it was stuttered?
Yeah.
That's great.
If you can remember positive communication, whether you stutter
regardless of
or
words.
Not,
wonderful.
Positive communication, and get that going into your subconscious and your memories, and reaffirm it to reinforce. So, irrespective of what the communication was like, if you communicated what you wanted to communicate, and you got the kind of responses you wanted, that is superb, and that's good memories to affirm.
Yeah, we so often think about all the times that we have failed, that we often sort of wash over all the times we were successful.
Yeah,
and I think that's great.
Another observation here that. One of the things that we have complete control over is our thoughts. Everything actually begins with a thought. One thing we can do, if we practice it, we can control what we're thinking. So we can choose to think negatively about something. We can choose to think positively about something. This is extremely important. But if you're thinking negatively, the example is that if you say I can, or if you say I can't, you're absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
If you say you can, that is a positive way to move ahead. If you say I can't, that will happen, but it isn't a useful way to lead your life.
Yeah, I mean, and there's been studies in cognitive science where suggestion significantly impacts the outcome of different things. Mm. Similar to that sort of a sentiment. So I think that's absolutely right. And the overwhelming evidence in most people who stutter's life experience is positive in terms of the stuff that they have been able to accomplish. And I think a lot of what needs to happen is all of those little victories that occur every day really need to be celebrated.
Yeah.
Because they're fantastic. And in light of all that positive evidence, it makes it much harder to have negative experiences, right? Because look at all the stuff you've accomplished.
Yes.
Why do you think you can't accomplish the next thing and the next thing and the next thing?
Yeah. Well, a specific example, obviously, we are all here to actually talk about stuttering, but why aren't we spending more time not talking about stuttering but talking about communicating?
Yeah.
And stuttering, possibly a little bit like stigma, has a kind of negative aspect in one's mind. Thinking about communication, whatever the level of fluency, is a more positive thing to be thinking about.
Yeah, and it's also the thing that actually is important, right? Just fluency in and of itself is not a an issue per se. It's, we don't speak simply to produce fluent syllables, right? We speak in order to communicate and have enjoyable interactions, to obtain information, to get things accomplished. And it's as if, I think a lot of times, especially speech pathologists, lose sight of the fact that we don't speak in order to produce fluency. We speak in order to communicate. And really, that's what we should be concerned about, yep, is communication ability.
A specific aspect, I think, that the IFA ought to address is that there are lots of people who stutter, who in the past have had negative experiences with professional help, mm-hmm, because it has not helped them. So whether we like it or not, based on past history, there is a lot of negativity around about professional expertise. But hearing what the professionals were doing in Tour, hearing what the professionals are doing now, there is more and more that I think they are doing right. So that message is not reaching disillusioned people who stutter. So the IFA possibly has to look at addressing how they can, in quotes, sell themselves more to people who have been disillusioned.
Yeah, and I think that's unfortunate. I speak to a lot of people who have said, you know, in the past they've had some terrible therapy experiences. Yeah. And it really turns them off from seeking any sort of professional help. And not that I think people who stutter ought to seek professional help. I think people are very capable of handling things on their own. But I think that professional help can often be helpful and positive. And it's a shame that some negative past experiences can sort of take out the possibility of those positive professional health experiences that could be occurring. And I think, just like you're saying, that sometimes professionals can have an image issue that perhaps they would do well to address.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have a belief in the value and the usefulness of professionals. I remember that until I educated myself, I had tremendous negative memories. Mm. Now, in the actual workshop which we were in this morning, we were speaking about how to build up the client's confidence to begin to get good experiences, irrespective of whether they stammer or stutter. Mm-hmm. So SLPs, SLTs have the ability to help us to begin getting better speaking, better communication memories. And once you can begin getting better communication skill memories, then that starts to remove a lot of the negativity in your memory system.
Absolutely. And that ties back to what we were talking about earlier about how I would imagine most people who stutter, when they really think back on their experiences, have many, many positive experiences that they just need to uncover and sort of, it's almost like an archaeological dig, right?
Absolutely.
Where they're buried under all this unintelligibility from the negative memories and from the negative stigma that comes from society.
Yeah.
And it's hard for them to make sense of those memories in light of societal stigma.
Yeah.
So it's like an archaeological expedition back into your mind to realize, you know, these were positive experiences.
Yes, yeah. You know, it's often argued that what we focus on tends to happen in our lives. Mm-hmm. What we focus on, if we're focusing on stuttering, is we have a little internal picture of our stuttering, and our conscious mind, even if it's focusing on not stuttering, subconscious mind will say, oh, picture of stuttering, I can do stuttering, I will help that to happen. So the conscious mind is a little bit at war with the subconscious mind. But if we focus not on stuttering, but we focus on communication, we have a little picture in our conscious mind of communication. Subconscious mind sees communication, I can do that, I've got memories of that, I've got memories of good communication, so here they are, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how our brains work.
And you take out that takes out all the apprehension that comes with stuttering. The second you think about stuttering and not stuttering, then you're apprehensive about whether you stutter or whether you don't.
Yes.
And it makes communication difficult.
Yeah.
But just instead of taking the emphasis off of whether a stutter occurs or does not, and instead putting in whether communication occurs or does not, I think that greatly reduces all the apprehension and those effective qualities that can make it more difficult to speak.
Yeah, you know, we often worry in anticipation of stuttering.
Yeah.
But a worry is a fear of something which may or may not happen sometime ahead. So why worry? You aren't there yet. It might or might not happen. Worry is an unhelpful way of anticipation.
Yeah, I agree. So before we end our talk, is there any other information you want to give anybody about the ISA?
Right. Well, in the ISA, we are actively working in Africa. We have a guide of our work in Africa on our website. We concentrate on helping people who have asked for help to help themselves, as against going out and doing things. At the moment, we are giving them information about how to help themselves. We also have in the past used international ISPS, International Speech Project stuttering teams, which have been in Africa, which have consisted of a couple of ISA or IFA SLPs and a couple of ISA directors, and we have been out there and we've spoken with the government ministers, we've spoken to universities, schools, offering information about stuttering, offering expertise in a whole host of areas. We're looking at how we can actually attract agencies to offer us financial help with work which we would like to begin doing with children in Africa. You know, there's a whole host of things which we are slowly, actively working on.
Well, that all sounds wonderful and exciting. And to reiterate, that was isastutter.com?
No, isastutter.org.
.org. All right. Well, we have a lot of other sessions we're interested in getting to.
That's right, yes.
The conference has been a lot of fun so far. So thank you for your time, Keith. It's been great talking to you.
Well, thank you for asking me to join you.
Yep. All right, goodbye.
Bye-bye.